we love you. There's no one like you in heaven or earth or under the earth. And we do give you glory and honor and praise. For you alone are worthy. Lord, we submit ourselves to you that your will would be done in the earth and in this place, in our lives and in our understanding today. Change our hearts that we might be more of the example of Jesus Christ in the earth. Remind us, Lord, of the privilege we have to be Christians. And the honor bestowed upon every one of us to be co-laborers with Christ. For Lord, we are overwhelmed by the privilege and the honor that you've given us in our lives today. And Holy Spirit, you already know, but I again welcome you into our midst, that you would move among us and move within our lives and change us today from glory to glory, that we would not go home in the same condition that we came, but we would be transformed again unto the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. So funny, I never tell David what I'm going to minister. In fact, I never tell anybody. But first thing I was going to say to you was fasten your seatbelts, and he already did it. And I just love the unity that God's given us. Because he doesn't have any idea what God's told me. I have about 15 things in two sets of notes. And so I'm just going to shoot it out there and trust the Holy Ghost will give you the wherewithal to handle it. I was sitting there this morning going, gosh, this is 3 days of stuff. This is terrible. But I read in your bulletin, and this is just, God's so cool, that God desires that there be an ark for every city, as Noah provided an ark of escape for those who desired. So this church shall be a place of safety and preservation for those who come into us in the flood of the last days. We shall be a prophetic people that testifies to the day of the Lord. And I went, yeah, they can handle it. So I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. I tremble when God tells me to minister out of Jeremiah. I have had notes for years on things, great things found in Jeremiah, and I've been afraid to minister them over the years because they're life changers, but they also break down any bondages that we've had, and they uproot any misunderstandings, and they just kind of tear you to shreds, and then you get to do what God's told you to do. In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, if you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you run with horses? And if on level land where you have confidence they have wearied you, then how will you cross the raging Jordan? And I know this is the oddest shirt I've ever worn to minister, but it says Jordan. And I know it meant Michael, but I know God meant Jordan. And I go through things, you know, before I minister. Everybody goes through certain things. I go through, God, what am I going to wear? I hate being in front of people. You know how embarrassed I get. And last night before I went to bed, I went, I don't have any summer clothes. I left them all. I thought it was fall. And I saw myself standing in front of this congregation in a black shirt and a Jordan jersey. And I went, yeah. And this morning I was mumbling around the motorhome and David jokingly said, why don't you wear Zach's Jordan jersey? And I went, yeah, sure. 10 minutes later, Zach was sound asleep. 10 minutes later, Zach got up and he said, why don't you wear my Jordan jersey today? And I went, that's it. I understand confirmation when it comes. And so I thought then, you know, it was in the spirit of the picnic this afternoon, and it was good form to wear something sporting to a celebration. And the Lord said, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you run with the horses? And I don't know if you're aware of it. I'm sure you are. This isn't a baby body, but you've been running with the footmen. for the last 3.5 years. And though you thought you were wearied, God's preparing you to run with the horses. You know, the average horse can run about 35 miles an hour for a short distance, but a good horse that's been trained well can run 100 miles in one day and do it in about 3 hours. And so you've been running with footmen, and now God's going to cause you to run with the horses, which this verse says, if you've run and you've become wearied, how can you expect to run with horses? So those of you that have things that still need to be shaped up or shipped out, it's time to shape up or ship out, because you're going to be running a more intensified race. It's going to start about the 15th of next month. It's going to carry you through January, where it's going to be an incredible change, incredible influx of people. God's sending anointed people to you. He's sending ministries to be based out of here. He's sending households to be restoration and places of refuge. He's sending a greater anointing than you've seen in this place before. And it's a time of transition, so it's kind of like, guys, shape up or ship out. If you're whining because you're weary because you've been running with footmen, get ready, because you're going to be running with horses. Hallelujah. And then it says, if on level land you have, where you have confidence, they have wearied you, then how will you cross the raging Jordan? And I went, I can understand that. I just spent weeks on flat land. And I love it. It was beautiful, but there's a definite transition to come into mountainous regions. And if when you were on flat land, if in your day-to-day walk with the Lord, where you have confidence in your personal life with Jesus Christ, if daily you have become weary from the circumstances and the adversary, how can you expect to cross the Jordan, which is, in the fall, raging? Okay? And so again, it's get things in proper perspective. Take hold of the relationship that you have with Jesus, because things are changing and changing quickly. And I don't know about you, I have different weary things. Driving through Montana, we crossed 16 miles of road construction. And this was like, you know, for 16 miles in a motorhome with 6 kids, 2 cats, and a bird. I mean, 6 of us, 2 cats and a bird. I hope that wasn't prophetic. 4 kids for the summer was enough. And the whole time, my thought was, God, we're going to shake something loose under this motorhome. And the voice of the Lord came to me and he said, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And shaking only displays a weakness. It doesn't necessarily produce one. And I went, got it. Because had anything broken down, it was a great place to fix it. It's a great place to fix things right now. But there's a shaking that's come upon the body of Christ, specifically in the Northwest. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And if you're concerned about some joints coming loose, God's just going to reveal it to you so you can fix it. And if you're weary on flat land, wait till you get to the raging Jordan. Okay? It's telling us, prepare. Be strong, gird yourself up, be equipped, because God has, He's ordained, He set in motion, He set in time His purposes, and it's coming quickly. And I've read this for weeks. This first time, I was terrified to come here this morning, because it's the first time in my life God gave me something weeks in advance. You know, I'm a one word prophecy person, and God gives it to me, you know, right there. They gave this to me weeks ago, and he said, if you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you run with horses? And I've read it over and over and over. And in my heart and in my mind, I've gone over the things that I have become weary in. And the Lord's saying, if this has wearied you, how will you do that? If this thing has wearied you, if you become impatient with your circumstance, how can you handle what's coming next? If you become weary with people, how can you handle what's coming next? If you're weary and well-doing when it's been easy, how can you handle what's coming next? And so for weeks it's been boiling in me that we need to be strong in Him, because next is coming upon us. And you're ordained to race with the horses. And then I was reading down in chapter 13. And this is where my mind just goes out of this world. Thus says the Lord unto me, go and buy for yourself a linen girdle and put it on your loins and do not put it in water. Well, right there I'm going, why? Why not? But linen, when it's woven, is woven loosely, and when it's put in water and hung out to dry, it then shrinks to form a stronger fabric that will last longer. And the Lord said, buy for yourself a linen girdle and put it on your loins and do not put it in water. Over in 1 Peter 1:13, it tells us to gird up the loins of our mind with truth. Linen girdle, pure woven flax girdle, pure truth across the loins of our mind. And I went, okay, what's that? Loins of a human being are where the reproductive organs are. Loins of the mind is where the reproducing thoughts are. The active thoughts of you. You're supposed to gird, bind the word of truth around it. But in this verse it said, put on a linen girdle and don't put it in water. So it means don't water it with the anointing or the grace of the Spirit of God. Just put it on. Every time we put on the Word of God without the anointing and grace of the Holy Spirit, you know what we have? We have what happens next. We have to have the Holy Spirit. So he bought a girdle according to the Word of the Lord, and he put it on his loins. And then the second word of the Lord came to him saying, take the girdle which you have bought and put, and which you put upon your loins and arise and go to the Euphrates and bury it there in a hole of the rock. How many times have we found revelation and truth in the word and we've thought that we've applied it rightly and we've hid ourselves in Jesus? But without the anointing and the grace of the Lord in our lives, what's going to happen to it? We become so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We know the word, but we don't know how to apply it. It's hid in our hearts in the rock of Christ. But is it applicable? Is it useful to us? Can we apply it? And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise and go to the Euphrates and take from thence the girdle which I commanded you to bury there. And then I went to the Euphrates and dug and took the girdle from the place where I had buried it. And behold, the girdle was rotted and was good for nothing. And I went, yep, I know a lot of Christians like that. And there's been times in my life I've been like that. How many times has God imparted to us fresh oil, fresh anointing, fresh revelation, fresh life? Every time I read this word, it's alive and brand new to me. How many times has it been new to us? And we put it on, but we haven't prayed. We haven't communed with the Lord. We haven't been in relationship with the Spirit of God. And so we know the Word, but we don't apply it so that it fits us well and strengthens us. And we hide it in the rock of the Euphrates. You want to know the amazing thing about the Euphrates? It's on the Fertile Crescent. The Euphrates and the Tigris River every season would flood their banks and produce minerals, nutrients, and water for the crop of the next season. And he said, take this linen girdle that's never been dunked in water, put it on, then hide it in the rock of the Euphrates. And it says, when that anointing is going to come and flood the banks of the church, it'll flood the girdle also. But it was hidden in the rock. It had never been shrunk to fit. It had never been applicable. And so even though the anointing and the wave and the floods of the Euphrates came, it rotted and was good for nothing. How many times have we seen it? We've been given the word. We've been given it with grace. But we've just put it on. We've not prayed it through. We've not learned to use it. We've not learned to apply it by the grace of God in our lives. And so we've put it on. We've hidden ourselves in the rock of Jesus. And the flood of the Holy Spirit's come. The Euphrates and the Spirit has overflowed. And instead of the word being a strength to us, it's rotted and been good for nothing. And that's what we call religion. That's what we see in our history of the church, where God's poured out revelation. And why didn't it work? Because it wasn't shrunk to fit. It does the same thing in flannel and cotton. When you weave it, it's woven loose. And when you wash it and it dries, it shrinks, becomes more dense. It becomes a stronger, warmer fabric. And when the Word of God's given to us, it's flooded over us. And then the Holy Spirit wants us to commune with Him and brood over, allow Him to brood over that Word in our lives so that it shrinks to fit us. I can't walk in this brother's revelation because it fits him. I can walk in the one that's been shrunk to fit me. And then when I hide in the Lord, I'm hidden in strength. So when the floods come, it's useful. It's not going to be rotted and good for nothing. And then it says here, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, in this manner will I destroy the proud men of Judah and the proud men of Jerusalem that are many. And the Lord said, the flood of the Euphrates and the Spirit's coming. And the truth that's been imparted to my people is upon them. And they're hidden in the rock. But in the same way that this girdle has rotted and become good for nothing, it's the same way that the proud and haughty ministers of the gospel will be brought down. You see, the girdle was found, but it was good for nothing. And everything in me began to just tremble. I'm like, God, I don't want to preach this. I don't even want to hear this. I don't even want to know this. This is a scary thing to me. It means that God's cleaning up His household. And if we're not walking in Him, we're good for nothing, and everything that's good for nothing will be on display. It'll be found. Amen. When the time where there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed, we're in that time span. And there's nothing that's hidden in our hearts that God won't put on display. There's nothing that's hidden in our lifestyles that God won't put on display. And this is a church that has said that it will testify to the day of the Lord. We shall be a prophetic people that testifies to the day of the Lord. This church shall be a place of safety and preservation for those who come into us in the flood of the last days. Did you know what that means? It means that God has washed you. He's imparted to you His Word, His grace. The Holy Spirit's communion is with you. And you're hidden in the rock. And He's going to bring you out and He's going to bring you on display. It means that everything that we're walking in that is of Him is going to be strengthened and useful. But everything that's just been word that has never been applied or used, you know what's happened? It's rotted in us and it's decayed and it's good for nothing. And I went, oh God, oh God, oh God, how many things have You given to me that I haven't done anything with? How many revelations? How many words for people? How many songs? How many understandings? How much grace? How much peace? How much wisdom have You poured out in my life that I've done nothing with and I'm guilty? And I just, God, I don't know what to do with this. And I, you know, as much as I look forward to ministry, I was terrified to minister. God, we're on display. You're bringing us out. Why? So when the refuge is needed, it can be found?
Amen.
Why would You bring out a girdle that was hidden in the rock unless it was needed to strengthen and uphold? How much of it is good and useful and how much of it is good for nothing? Euphrates, the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit of the Lord is doing is flooding the earth. We have the privilege of being first fruits in one sense, of walking out the maturity that the Lord has ordained for His people. We have the privilege of being some of the first that could be mature in Christ if when He takes us out of the rock, we're one piece, we're one fabric. But if He takes us out and we're rotted, we're good for nothing. And my prayers have been, oh God, I love You. Oh Lord, I just want to please You. I worship You. Let me be found intact. Not for my benefit, but for Your benefit. That we would be strong and knitted together in unity for Your purposes. I don't know if you noticed, but you don't gain anything unless you gain it in Christ. I don't care what you do. If you don't do it for Him, it's nothing anyway, and it's wasted everybody's time. The Euphrates is going to flood here. It's reaching flood tide level. I don't know if you've watched the things that have happened in the last 2 weeks. I watched them with an amazing excitement in me. Had volcano go up twice in 1 week. We had a hurricane hit 2 major cities in 3 days. We had the economy drop more in 1 day than it's dropped since World War II. We have the European currency unit in Europe coming into the scene. We have Germany not willing to boot up the dollar because it can't. We have the Japanese yen falling. Everybody's being shaken. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken to show a weakness that's already there. Why? So it can be fixed. Why? So that we can stand and be the people that God's ordained us to be.
Amen.
And there's an apprehension in me that goes, oh God, this is scary stuff, but I'm not stopping. I have this something that loves to be in awe of God. It's a good fear. It's a good scary. Because
yes,
He's in it. He's in this. I'm waiting. I mean, we have a friend down in California who said ever since that big earthquake in July, they had one a week for 2 weeks, and since then they have had one earthquake every day. Hasn't been big enough. You haven't heard about it up here, but they have had one earthquake every day. And I went, yes, God. The earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the promise of God to come and be on display, and we're part of it. Do you want to know how many girdles of truth have been hidden in the rocks by the Euphrates? For years. Now all you gotta do is look in a mirror. I've been hidden. It's time for God to reveal the works that He's done in me to the whole world. He's gonna put you on display. You can't hide anymore. You can't back up anymore. You can't run anymore because God Himself is bringing you out. You won't have to strive for ministry. You got no choice. It's here. And it's time for you to wake up and take your responsibility that God's given you and be bound together by the Spirit of the Lord that you will be good for something. Whatever His purposes are. His purpose. This place is a refuge. You want to know how much we're going to hang out here? We always need a refuge. Everywhere we go, we need a refuge. Do you want to know how many people are going to hang out here because it's a safe haven? Well, who's going to keep them safe if not you? Who's going to hover over them and protect them if not you? Who's going to minister to their needs and lick their wounds? Who's going to help them if not you? Somebody's going to do it. And God's proclaimed that you'll be a haven of safety and restoration for those that He sends. You have no idea some of the people He's sending here. They aren't all as good looking as we are. It's a joke. It's a joke. How many of you have been hidden and want to stay hidden? Be honest. How many of you aren't ready for the flood? Be honest. Because it's time to get ready. You know, the terrifying thing about the timing of the Lord, we think we're ready, and then when it comes, we're not ready. Just that thing that says, well, good, if you're not ready and I am, then it's me who's going to be on display and not you.
Right.
In this manner, I will destroy the proud men of Judah and the proud men of Jerusalem, both tribes. Both sides of Christianity. I don't know if you noticed Christianity's been two-faced and two-sided, but it has been for a long time. Both sides are going to be brought low. The proud and the haughty spirit of humanity is going to be brought down. I read an article in the newspaper this morning that said, oh God, I'm giving a newspaper report. How scary. I never read the newspaper, only the funnies. But I read about the hurricane and that 250,000 people had been displaced, the size of the population of Las Vegas. And their homes are gone and they have no food and they have no clean water. And in one sweep of nature, we look like a third world country. And if we don't take the hint, when are we going to? It's just a picture of what we look like spiritually, what's been happening to our nation for years. It's just that the cover was kind of lifted off and said, this is really what you'll look like. If you don't rest in me, you don't rest at all. And I went, God, no clean water. I know what no clean water's like. In fact, if I needed a reminder, we had bad water put in our motorhome a week ago, and I ended up sick from drinking it. I was the only one who drank it. I was massively sick for 2 days. I went, yep, bad water. Read it in the paper this morning, went, oh, I have mercy on them. I know what it feels like to not have clean water. What happened when the children of Israel were in the desert? God commanded Moses to put forth a rod and bring forth fresh water from what? A rock. What's that tell us? In time of adversity, God is going to bring forth fresh water from Jesus Christ himself. Are we going to be ready to see it and act on it and move in it? Because what we're seeing happening is just the beginning of what's going to happen to our nation. And it's not a doom and gloom. I mean, to me, it's, all right, let's get ready. We've been ready for this. We've been prepared. We've been taught. We've been ministered to. We've been anointed. We've been imparted to. Let's do it. Let's be on display.
Hallelujah.
Let's testify of what God's given us. Let's act on it. God, I'm not ready. I'm ready. Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. You know that? There's always a war in me. I'm not ready. I'm ready. I'm not ready. I'm ready. I'm not ready. I'm ready. God, what do you say? You're ready. Okay. Time for you to ask, God, what do you say? What are you saying? We've got to stop having excuses for why we're not moving in Christ. How come you didn't witness to your neighbor yesterday? Well, he was mowing his lawn and I was busy, and then he went to the store and I mowed my lawn, and we have excuses. How come you didn't pray for so-and-so when they were sick? Well, I felt a little, I was a little intimidated because they were really sick and I didn't want to bother them, and maybe they didn't need anybody at their house. But you wouldn't have minded if Pastor would have done that, right? How come when you saw sin in a store that you visit often, how come you didn't confront it? Well, I didn't want to embarrass anybody, but I was embarrassed by the sin, but I didn't want to say anything because, come on. It's time that we begin to display the Christianity that's in us. And it's time that church leaves just the walls of safety and begins to open the doors so that others can flood in. And who are they going to flood in through? Us. They're not going to flood in through that door. They're going to flood through. Jesus said, I'm the door they come through. And he's in us. So we're the doorway that people come through for healing and restoration, for demonstration of the mercy of the Lord. And it's time that we open up to what God's doing, because the Euphrates is going to flood. And you might be hidden in the rock, but if you don't have the anointing of the Lord upon you, you're going to be rotten when it's time to be displayed. Well, when are we going to be displayed? Some of us real quick. Some of us, we have a little time. How little is little? I don't know. It's going to happen soon. September 15th, you're going to start seeing shakings. I don't know what day the 15th is, but right around the 15th. I didn't say this church is going to be shaken. I said you're going to be seeing shakings. This community, this country is going to shake and tremble in every arena you can imagine. What are you going to do about it? You have a couple weeks and a couple days to take inventory of your life, of your heart, of your understanding, of your actions, and of your household. It's time to do it. Some of you don't have any time. It was wasted. God, forgive us for wasting the time that you've given us of grace. But he's going to put you on display in a mighty way. Because you're not running with footmen. And footmen, don't be ashamed of ever running with footmen, but God's causing you to run with horses. That means he's speeding up the ministry that he's called you to as a body of believers. He's paced it up from about 10 miles an hour to about 35 miles an hour in the realm of the Spirit. Can you imagine that? If you think things have been strange now, wait. A couple weeks, this is really going to be wild. Watch around the middle of November. Middle of October, you'll see major things happening in the Middle East that are going to be used for a distraction against our country so that we can't think straight. That's not too hard for Americans. Most of us are easily distracted. By the middle of November, when our elections take place, every nation that has been a part of world power is also going to be in the midst of such major turmoil and transition. There's not going to be a constant except the Lord. Look for it. Be ready for it. Find out what your responsibility is in it. I always ask God, why do you bring me around people who know what's going on? I can't understand them. He said, I can understand them. You need to know. You need to be aware of what's happening. Be aware of what's happening. Find out what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it, and how he wants you to do it. You're not babies in Christ. You know the word. You've been given steadfast, stable teaching, some of you for years. Now let the anointing of the Lord come upon you in such a way that it shrinks it to fit, so that you'll be strong and stable in the days ahead. You need it. When we were in Minnesota visiting my family, we had an incredible attack come against us. Excuse me, and I'm not fond of attack, but when it's an incredible attack, I'm really not fond of it. And we had some churches really become disgruntled with our ministry, though all the fruit of our ministry has been good and our relationship's been good. There was some contention with people that had brought forth rumors, and I've never ever put any weight in rumors, but they really hurt. And I went through weeks of going, God, what do I do? What do you want me to do? How do I respond? What do I say? He said, you don't say anything. Your husband will deal with it. I went, okay, what do we say? What do we do? It was the hardest thing for me to not defend myself in anything and let the Lord be my defense. And for weeks, I would crawl back to the corner of the motorhome and I would just cry. Because I couldn't defend anything. Because if I'm just and pure and holy before the Lord, He is my defense. And we couldn't say, well, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. It was a situation that was so precarious, all we could say is, God will bring it to light. He will clear everything up and we'll wait for His response. And it was so hard, and God said, if you're weary on the flat land where you've been comfortable, if this wearies you, how are you ever going to cross the raging Jordan? And I went, oh God, I'm a worm. God, I'm whining about this, and this is nothing to you. Oh God, if I'm weary on the flat land where I have been confident, and I tell you, that uproots everything. That is not Him. It will uproot everything. So I had to get to this place where I was willing to rejoice no matter what it felt like, looked like, or anything. Which if you're like me and can pout really good, that's a hard thing to do. And I just started going to the motorhome and saying, Lord, I love you. I just want to please you. Lord, I worship you. I just want to know you. And David became the mouthpiece of our defense. And he didn't say, this is wrong, this is right. He said, we trust that God will not let our relationship be severed. We know that God will bring all things to light. We want you to know we love you. We'll do whatever it takes to mend this, but we will not compromise what we have ministered. We stand by the fruit and by the word that God's given us. And 2 days later, the pastor called and apologized, and he said, we think you're right. We'll deal with it from this end. I'm sorry if we've caused any hurt or grief. We trust you. We trust your ministry that God's given you. And all the air that was left inside went, whew. And God said, if you've been with the footmen and you've been weary, how can you be with the horses? And I thought I was pretty tough. And if something that simple that God can take care of in His order, in His timing, in His grace, and make everything okay, if that wearied me when I thought I knew what I was doing, how am I going to do it quicker? How am I going to run at a faster pace with a stronger people? With a stronger vessel? And God said, you got a little bit of time to get it together, girl. That's all you got. And instead of terror, when he said that, this incredible joy hit. It was like, I wasn't done. He didn't forget. He didn't dust me off and say, well, you blew it, that's it. He said, you've got a little bit of time to prepare. Let's go. And I'm telling you, you have a little bit of time to prepare. Let's go. Do you understand that? Some of you have been waiting for God's direction and confirmation on things, and He's already given it to you. And the reason you haven't looked at it and recognized it for what it is because you anticipated it would come in a certain way. Open your understanding to the Spirit of the Lord today. Let Him reveal your motives to you and let Him confirm those things that He's promised. It's okay to shake and tremble as long as you do it in obedience. It takes a while to learn to be strong. You want to know how funny this is? The kids and I went on a lot of bicycle rides while we were there. I had this ambition to do 200 miles in a week. I did 130. I'm not a bicycle rider, so if you know how much I sit still, this was quite a feat. And the last day of our ride was 37 miles, which was, it was uphill for about 20 of it. And the last 6 miles, this 30-mile-an-hour wind came right in our faces. And for the last 6 miles, we were riding right into this 30-mile-an-hour wind. And I was cramping up in my legs, and I was so miserable. I had to look at each little marker on the trail because I couldn't look ahead. I was so tired, and I just couldn't see how far I had to go. I just had to keep my head down and watch these little markers go by. And God said, hey, Brenda, you're in eighth gear. Why don't you go down to fourth? And I went, I am so stupid. You don't go full speed when it's 30 miles against you. You just cut it down, make it a little easier, and all of a sudden it wasn't so difficult. Some of you have been looking for the Lord's direction and you've been trying to go full speed. And if you'll just cut it down a little bit, it'll make the going easier and you'll get the revelation quicker. And it's okay to go, oh, so stupid. He goes, yeah, you were. But I love you anyway. We're so prideful. We don't want to know we're so stupid. But we are. Sometimes we are just dumb. Because God's given us everything we need and we're so puffed up we don't want to hear that we've been dumb. And instead of just going, I was so stupid, God forgive me, and He goes, okay, no problem. We go, I was not. I'm tough. I can do this in eighth gear. And then we wonder why we're having heart attacks and we're getting weary and we're despondent and we're discouraged and we can't lift a hand to help anybody because we're too depressed. If we'd go down to fourth, we can handle it. Makes it easier. Go back to the basics of what God's given you. Walk in that revelation till the winds pass. We always want new revelation. If we can't walk out the old revelation, what do we need new for? If we can't love our neighbor as ourselves, if we can't esteem one another more highly than ourselves, if we can't bear the weaknesses and the infirmities of our brothers and sisters when we're strong, why do we need new revelation? Some of us can't love ourselves. How can we love our neighbors? Until we get past that, we can't do anything else. Well, guys, you got a couple weeks to get it together. God's grace has come this morning. You got a couple weeks to shape up. And I don't know about you, but after riding 130 miles last week, nothing changed physically. I wasn't all of a sudden, 30 pounds lighter, 10 muscles stronger, a lot. I wasn't. I was tired. I was exhausted. I felt good inside, but I went, boy, I should have been doing this all along. If I would have done 10 miles a day for months, I wouldn't have felt so terrible when I was finished. Boy, was I dumb. But it's okay, because God loves us anyway. Take inventory. What's happening in your heart? What's happening in your home? What's happening in your business? What's happening in your churches? Find out where it's supposed to be and what's really supposed to be happening and make the appropriate adjustments. Because God's not going to come in and just zap you with a cattle prod and say, this is okay, fixed. He's not going to do that. He did that salvation. That was when he did that. When he gave all provision, but it's for you to learn to let it be applied where needed. Well, I don't like horses. I don't want to run with horses. Fine, run behind them and clean up the mess. That's your choice. I don't want to cross the Jordan. I don't like being around raging water. Fine, stay in the desert and die of thirst. God's not kidding. He's serious. Prepare your heart for the transition and the visitation of the Lord. And those things that need to be changed, change them. A rock of offense, a root of bitterness, change them. Lack of knowledge, change it. You know, there's a transition you go through. You can either believe you know nothing, or you can believe you know what God wants you to know at the appropriate time. You can either believe that you don't hear God, or you do hear God. You can either tell yourself, I am teachable, or I'm rebellious, stubborn, and sickening. I mean, we have that choice, and it takes about that long to go through it. Discipline yourself to apply the Word in each area of your life. You know what the Holy Spirit does to me? He says, I told you I was here. What are you worried about? And I have a choice to respond to that or pretend he didn't say anything. When you see somebody hurting, you hear immediately whether it's you who's supposed to go pray for that person. You can either respond or pretend you didn't hear anything. And if you pretend you didn't hear anything long enough, pretty soon you're going to die. And the girdle of truth that God's given you will deteriorate and be good for nothing in your life. Because the elements of the world and of humanity are raging. And the Spirit of the Lord is flooding. And we're either going to be useful or not. And I know, I look at your faces and you're kind of all... I delight in that. Because I know God's showing you your heart. What better place to see it than here? We've been buried near the Euphrates and we didn't know it. Now we're going to be uncovered. The thing about it is you know it. Christianity is on display, not just to one another, to everyone you meet, to the heavenly hosts, to all the demons. You're on display. He's taken you out of that covering and protection of habitation, and he's bringing you to the front lines as a body. If you complain, stop. You know what the thing about complaining? People complain, but they don't dislike it enough to fix it. They only dislike it enough to complain. You ever seen that? When I hear people dissatisfied about something and they say it, I always wonder, they're only half unhappy. They're unhappy enough to say something, but they're not unhappy enough to fix it. Because if they're unhappy enough to fix it, they won't say a thing. Did you ever notice that? I look at that. I look at that. If we're disgruntled enough to say something, but we're not disgruntled enough to fix it, then we're not where we're supposed to be. Confusion's not of the Lord. If we're in confusion, guess what? We're not in the Lord. You ever notice that? If you're in a dilemma, if you're in confusion about what you should do next, you know what? You're not in the Lord concerning what you should do next. Because confusion's not in God. It's very simple. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. Then you're not in God. Get where you belong, and you won't be confused. You make it sound so simple. It is simple. It's so simple, we don't want to receive it as from God. If I'm discouraged, and God is life and health and joy, unspeakable and full of glory, and I'm discouraged, guess what? I'm not in God. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. It means I'm not acting in what He's given me to act in. I'm not living out the fullness of the gospel He's imparted to me. You know what it does? It eliminates your opportunity to be upset. It eliminates your reason to be discouraged. It eliminates your ability to whine and get away with it. Wasn't that nice of me? Wasn't that nice of God? Monday's coming. Most of you are going to go to work and things might happen and they might not be fun and you won't be able to complain about it because you heard today that if you complain, you only dislike it enough to complain but not fix it. And God's going to say, if this wearies you and you're in the flat where you've been confident, how are you going to cross the raging Jordan? If you haven't known what to do and it's been peacetime, how are you going to know what to do in war? You know that SWAT team that meets? If I were you, I'd get my fly swatter out and show up. And I'd find out what I'm supposed to do in warfare. I think I told you about the sheep that have the fly that buzz around their head and it drives them crazy and off the cliff. And the way to fix it is to anoint the sheep's head with oil. Let the Lord anoint you. Let Him move through your life because the flood's coming quickly. Why do you need a girdle when the flood's coming? To hold everything in place. It's what it does, isn't it? Girdle of truth holds everything in place. The truth of the Word, the anointing of the Spirit of God, holds everything we know intact so we can use it. So why do we need a girdle that fits? Because if you have one that don't, you're going to constantly be hiking it up and you're going to be left behind. Or it's going to fall down around your knees or your mouth. It's the girdle of your mind going to fall out your mouth. You're going to make a fool of yourself and be hurt. I told you, I think, the story about when I was mushrooming with Harold, which if you've never gone, you probably never want to go because you haven't missed a whole lot if you're of my mindset. And I had this plastic rain suit that was way too big and I kept hiking it up and it was raining and every step I took, it would fall down, and I'd hike it up, and I was getting real frustrated with it because I couldn't take a step to get a mushroom because my britches kept falling down, and God said, it's just like your anointing. And I went, great, you give me an anointing I can't fit into. What do I do with it? And He said, get suspenders. Some of you have not allowed the Lord to help you because of pride. Because you didn't want to hear yourself or anybody else say, I can't do it by myself. And so you wouldn't let suspenders come and hike up the gifts and the anointings He's called you to because you wanted to save face. You know what I've decided about saving face? It ain't that good. Let it go. Who are you trying to impress? God wants you to make the adjustments that are your responsibilities today. Change those things that you have authority to change. Some of you have been sitting on the back 40 waiting for God to say, it's time to go minister, it's time to go minister, yet He's brought opportunities day after day and you haven't done anything with them. You're still waiting for a video from God that says, this is your ministry. But He already gave you one. You've seen it day after day. And it's time for you to walk in it, move in it, flow in it. You know what's going to happen when the destruction of proud men hits? It's going to come real close to home. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. And whenever the prideful men are brought low, everyone who's in the same camp is scrutinized. And we have to be ready to stand and say, okay, take a look. Whatever's not of you, take out, Lord. Whatever is of you, I stand in you. We're so afraid to do that. But if we'll just let the Lord do it in us, then when we stand, we'll be standing in unity connected to the brother and sister next to us. And we will have nothing to fear because the Lord is on our side. So it's shape up or ship out because you've been running with the footmen and now it's time to run with horses. And if you've been weary, how do you think you're going to make that? Because I don't know if you noticed, it doesn't say you get to ride on the horses. You just get to run with them. So nobody gets an easy seat in this growth of maturity in Christ. We all have to run. And the thing about running is, when you run, your capacity to take in more air increases. So when you run in what you already know, and you, when you walk out and run out, live out the revelation and the knowledge of the Word of God that you already have, your capacity to take in more wind of the Spirit increases. You don't have to strive for revelation. It's just a product of your relationship and your walk with the Lord. Those of you who want new revelation, get busy with the work He set before you, and the new revelation will come as your capacity to receive it increases. You know, I have a nephew who runs. He covers 100 miles a day. He runs 30, he bikes 50, and he rollerblades 20 every day of the week. He has less than 3% body fat on him. His lung capacity is so huge that they do tests on him. And why he just has this incredible endurance. But you know what? He loves to run and he's run all his life. And it's just a natural process of his. If any of us tried to do that, I don't know, but I'd collapse, you know, half a mile, three quarters tops. I would. What about spiritually? He's been conditioned to retain and use that amount of oxygen in his physical body day in and day out. And he can cover 100 miles from the strength in his own system. How about us? How about spiritually? What have we used day after day so that we're equipped in it, we're accomplished in it, so that we're covering the mileage in the Spirit, in prayer, in study, in ministry, in worship, in relationship, in interaction. And we cover it so much that now we're becoming a phenomenon that the Word of God works in our lives day in and day out. We know what's going to happen. If we ever need to run away from something, we'll be able to do it. And if we ever need to run to something, we'll be able to do it. And God wants you to condition your heart and begin to use what He's given you so that you'll be prepared for the days ahead. And they're coming quickly. I don't know if you notice. I mean, time's going a lot faster than it used to. I used to sit through summer going, kind of boring. Haven't done anything today. Wonder what kind of winter we're going to have. I didn't even notice this summer go by. It came and it moved and it went so fast. They already had a foot of snow in Montana. And I went, yeah, winter. Oh, no, winter. I'm not ready. Same in the spirit. If you're not in relationship with the Spirit of the Lord, get there. If you're not intimate in the Lord, get there. If you haven't read through your Bible yet this year, you still have a few months to do it in. You need to know the Word. If you've not been in prayer, they meet here in the mornings for prayer. If you don't have a daily relationship with the Lord and a time of communion with the Lord, get it. And if you're not in communion with one another, if you don't know the people around you and this is your church, get to know them quickly because you're going to need them in the days ahead. And you know what else? If you don't know how to enjoy their presence, you better learn. Because you're going to live a long time with them. And even when they're away from you, they're a part of you. And you need them. So it's clean up. It really is. Because you've been running with the footmen and now it's time to run with the horses. You've been on the flat land where it's been comfortable. Time to cross the raging Jordan. Why? What's on the other side? Promised land. Grapes so big takes a bunch of guys to carry them. Blessings and abundance, but you've got to cross first. Everyone has it in their own lives, and their own households, and their own ministries. Every one of you has it. You've got to cross. And if you've been weary here, how are you going to cross? Unless you come back to where the Lord wants you to be.